the English, but I think I'm going to count most of it. Mishnah, Bishlosha Prakim, Bishana, Tormin, and Talishka. So this actually we saw on the very first page. No, I'm okay. I know I'm solid. There's a few areas here and there where the questions and answers are a little bit strange to me, but you could feed us in. Oh, do you have it? That has a... Yeah, okay, good. That's good. So Bishlosha Prakim, Bishana, Tormin, and Talishka. No, I'm okay, I'm all right. No, really, I'm okay. Mamash, I'm okay. You'll see me when I start to sweat. You'll know that I'm desperate. So b'shalosh prakim b'shanat torment alishka. The three times that you pull out the money from the lishka where people have been depositing all along. B'frosa pesach. So we'll learn a little bit just in a few lines that frosa pesach means fros means 15 days before. So 15 days before pesach. So that would be aleph. I guess it would be aleph be. Aleph in Nisan, the Frosa Atzeret, 15 days for Atzeret, so I guess I'll be on the 28th, 23rd, I'm not good at math, but 15 days before Shavuot, the Frosa Chag, 15 days for Chag, which would be Rosh Hashanah. The Heim Granot Shel Maser Behema, and it happens to be that this is the same time that you give your Maser Behema, so you have a whole bunch of animals, so essentially you count off 10 of them, and every one-tenth goes to Maser, which means it's yours, you just have to take it to Yushalayim, to use one way or the other. So Divri Rabbi Akiva, that's what Rabbi Akiva says. He ties the idea of the Torma Metalishka to the idea of Maser Behema. So Rabbi Akiva Ben Aza says, no, Be'esrim Betisha Be'adar, I'm going to move it up one day to the day before Rosh Chodesh of Nisan. The Echad B'Sivan, which means that's only 6 days before Shavuot. The Esrim B'Tisha B'Av. Now that's weird, because that's not just one day before, that's one day and one month before Sukkot. So he moves it up essentially 31 days, or 30 days. Rav Lazar, V'Rav Shimon Olim, no. The Echad B'Nisan, so with Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the Echad B'Sivan, so that I agree with you, but the Chavtet B'El. So there it's 15, 16 days before Sukkot. So the Mishnah says, well, I'm a B'chav Tepe El. So if he's a Rosh Chodesh guy, so how come he's moving it up to one day before Rosh Chodesh of Nisan? So it says, V'lo Amru Be'echav Tishrei. How come he didn't say Echav Tishrei? If he said Echav Nisan, Echav Echav Sivan, so Stam you would hold Echav Tishrei also. So he says, Mipnei Shehu Yom Tov, because that falls out on Rosh Hashanah. You can't do Maser B'Yom Tov anyway. The Fikach Hakdimu of the Chavtet, the Elul. I can only assume Rabbi Akiva would also agree, because Rabbi Akiva says Befros. I assume he would say that you also move it up unless he holds that I can't imagine disagreeing with that. I'm Rav Abahu. Kol Hein Detinyanin Pras. Every time you word the word Pras, what it means is Palga Palga Delam B'Yom. It's one half of 30 days or 15 days. Kodem Limoed, why is it, where do you get the 30 days from? Kodem Limoed Shedorshin Behilchatav. So pras means half. Why is it 15, why is it 1 month? Because that's when you start learning the laws of the holidays. Although the halacha, we only paskin that way for Nisan, for Pesach. We actually don't paskin that way for Sukkot, even though there's a decent amount of laws of Sukkot. We certainly don't paskin that way for Shavuot, where there's essentially only one simon for Shavuot. You don't do anything on Shavuot. I mean, there's essentially nothing there. But anyway, so they say 30 days before each one. The Hein Agranot, so these are the days that you essentially set aside Maser Behema.
That day only or from that day?
What do you mean?
Or say, it says Berchat Benisa. Is it only Berchat Benisan, or is it from Echad Benisan? And how many days
so that's a good question. So technically you're supposed to do it's a question. Technically you're supposed to do it as soon as you have 10 animals immediately.
Okay.
And that's the idea.
Okay.
There's a machloket actually. According to one person, dear, right, you have to do it every time you have 10 animals. You got to let it go right away. And Chachamim actually said no. Sheif Al Tasa, don't do anything. And you'll wait until these three times, and you will see why. It really has to be around those times. You'll see why. According to other opinion, you can give it any time during the year that they want, but they wanted to make sure you did this on that day. Deraita, according to that opinion, which is the more common opinion, you can do it any day that you want. If you don't get that day, you get the day afterwards. But the reason they wanted specifically 15 days for the Chag, and we'll see exactly why. Did I answer the question?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm Rav Yochanan Bnei Shehid Pirkei Leida. So the reason why it was those days specifically is those are the days the animals were giving birth, so therefore I guess they wanted to make it, that was when you would know exactly how many animals that you had, you'd be able to do a good head count, and once you do a good head count, you know how much 10% of what it is that you need to bring to Yerushalayim.
So we wait so many days before we...
to make sure the animal is okay. Yeah, I don't know, so maybe Pirkei Leda is not so much exactly when they gave birth, but approximately in, you know, in that area. Rav Acha, Rav Tanchum Bar Chiya, B'shem Rav Yeshua Ben Levi, K'day Shetiyeh Abehima Metzuyah Lo L'Regalim. So actually 15 days before, because we want the animals to be available when everybody comes up to Olah Regalim, so you need animals there. You need korbanot, you'll sell your animal for the korban, whatever it is, but you want animals there. So your question goes back. So it would be okay if you missed that one day, is it okay to do it the next day? So that's actually what the mission is going to... Hold on, the Gemara is going to refer to that in a second. Rav Yudin, Shelo Yavoli Dei Baal Ta'acher. The reason why I want you to do 15 days before is if you don't do it, you'll forget to bring your animal up, and then you'll be over Baal Ta'acher. It says, Amar Rav Yossi, Kol HaMeshahet Tivlo over Baal Ta'acher. Anybody who leaves around his Tevel is considered Baal Ta'acher. So in this case, Tevel is, it's an analogy to wheat. Before you give Truma, you're not allowed to use any of the animals whatsoever. So they make the analogy. If you don't get your animals up there, then all of your animals are considered Tevel, and it's like you're Baal Ta'acher. So I think in this case, you really have to get it up on that day. If you don't get it up that day. So I think, according to me, Piyadin, certainly they're right that you could do it afterwards, but I think they're warning you to make sure if the animal comes up. All right. We're finally up to Daf Chet. So Tama and Tinyana, we learned over there, Rav Meir Omer Be'echad Be'elul. He says that it's supposed to be Be'echad Be'elul Rosh Hashanah L'Maaseh Behema, which means any animal born from the first day of Elul until the 29th day of Av, that's what you count on when you're doing your head count and you're getting 10% of that. That's what you have to give the 10% on. An animal that was born on Echad Be'elul is counted for the next year, not for the previous year. Rav Elazar, Rav Shimon, Omrim Be'echad B'Tishrei. So that's not right. It's actually the regular new year, and any animal born from the regular new year until the 29th of Elul, that's when you do your head count and give 10%. It's like taxes, right? If you have a child before January, so then you can claim the deduction. What? It's just practical. If you, let's say you had a good year last year and a bad year this year, so you may not have even, for this year, you may not even come up to the number 10. Okay. So you have to know when you're counting your...
I mean, what's the difference? Either I have to give either that last year or this year. It's not like the child thing.
That's true, but if you had 100 exactly from Tishrei to then, you have to give 10. If then I have 4 on, let's say you're counting from Elul to Av. So if 100 from El to Av, and then on Elul first I have another 2, that puts me over the top to like another full cow. Let's say I have 2 and it fills up the number, now I have another group of 10, and for that group of 10 I need to give one of my cows away.
Yeah.
But those two animals are not counted for last year, so therefore they don't get combined with the previous group, and therefore I don't have a full 10, and therefore I don't have to give, let's say I have 18 born. Until the 29th of Av, and then I have 19 and 20 that are born on Elul the first. That doesn't make a full 10. I don't have to lose another cow to go for Maaseh. And by the way, if you only have those two the next year, let's say you stop growing, let's say you get out of the cow business, you don't have to pay nothing. You have to pay nothing. So Maaseh, you save yourself a cow. So I think it has a practical, besides the religious difference that you're supposed to give exactly a 10. So I think it has a practical difference at all. It can turn the numbers. So Be'echad B'Tishrei Benazi Omer Ha'elulim Mitzashrim Fleyatron. So guess what? You have to take everything born in Elul and count a tithe on them, a tithe on them themselves. So essentially everything is from Tishrei to Av, 29th of Av, you count and you figure 10% of that you give, and any animals that were born specifically on Elul, you count a tenth of them and you give that number of animals. We'll see why all these in a second. Amar Rav Huna, Taimi to Rav Meir. Why did Rav Meir say that it goes from Elul to Elul as Elul to Av as opposed to Tishrei to Elul? So Adkan Hemet Matzot Leleid Mina Yishanot Mikan. I'm sorry. Adkan, if they are born on in Av, that means that they were conceived from the old ones. Mikan ve'elech, but from Elulam, it's Yado Leide Min HaChalashon. And I'll tell you what that means. That means that he's not going after birth time, he's going after conception time. He doesn't hold that it's Elul is the Rosh Chodesh at all. And he doesn't hold Tishrei is the Rosh Chodesh. What he holds is that Nisan is the Rosh Chodesh. And since it takes 5 months to carry, the gestation period of a behemah daka is of a light animal like a sheep or a goat is 5 months. Therefore, any animal that was born before Elul means that it was conceived before Nisan, and that would be considered the previous year. And any animal that was conceived after was born and from Elul, that means that it was conceived after Nisan, and that would be a Chadash, and therefore you treat them as two separate ones. So really, the question isn't Tishrei versus Elul; it's really Tishrei versus Nisan. By the way, I looked it up on the internet. I was learning this. So I was curious whether the rabbis knew their stuff. 147 days gestation period. They knew exactly. I looked it up on the internet. I put in Google gestation sheep, 147 days. They knew exactly that was it. Is it's 3 days short of 5 months. 3 days short of 5 months. They knew their stuff. I think they knew. You know, they were no dummies. They knew their agriculture. Well, if you understand how it works, I guess you have to figure out that if you're doing what you're doing, so that's going to be the day of impregnation.
Right.
So you have to assume that they knew exactly what they were up to. So Rav Yossi bar Avbon, but I figured I wanted to check. So it was nice to see that, you know. Yeah, I was. So maybe that's a sign of lack of years. So maybe it's not good. So Rav Yossi bar Avbon, B'shev Rav Huna says, time of Rabbi Elazar of Rav Shimon. Rav Elazar of Rav Shimon. So it says, the Pasuk Lavshu Karim Atzon. Eluat bechirot v'imke ya'atfu var elu ha'afelot. So essentially, there's a pasuk that combines together the karim atzon, which are the newer ones, the bechirot, the newly born ones, the newly conceived ones, and ya'atfu bar elu ha'afelot. Those are the older conceived ones. That is before Nisan. And it says yitro af yashiru. It says they shall raise up in song. They shall even sing. So it says, Elu ve'elu nichnasim l'dir lehit aser. So it's playing with the word yashiru as yasiru, which means that they all combine together when it comes to mashim. So essentially, the rest of the pasuk, it doesn't make a difference whether you conceived earlier or later. It's a birth time, and the birth time specifically is Tishrei. We're not playing the conception time whatsoever. So Amr ben Azai asks, what about Azai? Hol ve'elu omrim kach. So since these guys say conception, and it's Nisan, ve'elu omrim kach, and these guys say that it's birth, and it's Tishrei, so Yehua Elulim mitzasrim b'fnei atzmon. So I really don't know whether the Elulim are like Rabbi Meir and therefore they should be considered new, or whether they are like the Rav Shimon Rav Elazar and they should be considered part of last year's group. So therefore I have to take them separately and do a tith on them separately. Hakate, so how does it work out? So Nolad lo beheba av. If you have an animal on the fifth day of Av, and then Beheba Elul, fifth day of Elul, Beheba Tishrei, Eimet Starfim, Nolad Lo, Eimet Starfim, you don't add them together. They're three separate groups that you tit separately based on their numbers. Nolad Lo, Beheba Tishrei, but if you had an animal born on the fifth day of Tishrei, and then Beheba Av, and then 11 months later you had it on Heba Av, Hari Elu Mitzdarfim, those two animals get combined. So even though you've got a lot of animals within 3 months, they're considered three separate groups, but you could have animals 10 months apart, because once they're Elul, that's no good, but 10 months apart, then they would be considered one group. Uben Azai Machriel, Divrei Tamitach. So what's going on here? These two are his students. Rav Meir and Rav Elazar of Shimon are the students of Ben Azai. So Ben Azai can't figure out which one of his students is right. He should decide which one of his students is right. So Ata Rav Yirmiya v'Rav Maisha b'shem Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak shekein nechaku aleho avota olam. See, one of the it really wasn't a machloket of his students. The machloket of his students is reflection of a much earlier machloket of fathers of the world. Who were these avota olam? Tana Rav Yonah. Rav Yonah says kumei Rav Yirmiya. So he says it in the name of, he says it in front of Rabbi Yirmiyah. So he says, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva. So Vizot Omer, right, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva. So they were the first ones to disagree about whether it goes after Tishrei and birth, or whether it goes after Nisan and conception. So wait a second, Rabbi Akiva, Zot Omer, are you trying to tell me Ben Azai Chaver V'Talmid Haya? So apparently there's some knowledge, I'm not very good on these kind of things, but I think what's going on is that Ben Azai is known to be a student to Rabbi Akiva. But based on this, it seems to be the Rabbi Akiva that Ben Azai is also a chaver of Rabbi Akiva, because otherwise he never could have said, I'm going to agree with you, but I'm also going to agree with the other guy. So it says, Hayad, Chaver Hayad, the Rabbi Akiva, in Tamar, Rabbi, because if you said he was only his teacher, that Rabbi Kiva was Ben Azai's teacher, it's Barnash Amar, would be possible that somebody could say the Rabbi, Hoil Ve'ilu Amrukach, Ve'ilu Amrukach, since you have one opinion and the other guy holds another opinion, we're going to take the compromised position. You would never do something like that. If Rabbi Kiva was his Rebbe, he would have followed Rabbi Kiva. He would not have been Choshes for Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Abom, Shem Rabbi Shmuel, Bar Ravinsach, Shamalei Mihada. So actually, he also heard something different, which proves that Ben Azai was not only the Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, but was also a Chaver, was a contemporary of Rabbi Akiva. Because it says, Amalei Abaye Azai, so I have to feed you in a little bit on what's going on here. There's, I don't know where the Mishnah is, I think in Adiot there are like five cases where Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel disagree, and there's one case where they agree. And Rabbi Akiva then comes along and says, no, on the sixth case they also disagree. So he says, Amalei Ben Azai. So Ben Azai says to Rabbi Akiva, Alachlukim anu mitzdarim. We have enough trouble and sorrow over the ones they disagree with. Ela Shabbat l'chalok aleinu et hashavim. So now you come take the one thing they agree with and try to call it l'choget. Zot emeret Ben Azai chaver talmid avah Rabbi Akiva. You have to say that Ben Azai was a talmid, true, but also a chaver, a friend, a chavruta, so to speak, of Rabbi Akiva. Why? Because in Tamar Rabbi, if you want to say he was Rabbi, he's Parnash Amalei Rabbi. You think somebody would say to his Rabbi, Ella Shabbat l'chok aleinu et hashavim? Nobody would say a chosbedik thing like that. So it must be Ben Azai was also a friend of Rabbi Akiva, not just a student. Okay. End of sugya. Taman Tanina, and over there we learn, actually we're still involved with the whole thing of Maser Behema. So Taman Tanina, we learned over there in a Braita, Kol Nodim Echad, B'Tishrei Ad Chavtet Be'elul, which, by the way, is Rav Shimon Rav Elazar's opinion. How Elu it would start from. So they all count together as one group for counting tithes. Chamisha lefnei Rosh Hashanah v'heila achar Rosh Hashanah. But if you have an animal that's born 5 days before Rosh Hashanah, another animal or another group of animals is born 5 days after, ein mitzdarfim. You don't have together 2 different years, 2 different tithing systems. Hey, lefnei agoren, heila achar agoren. Ah, but once we established this rule of goren, that you have to really do the matzah 3 times a year. So if you did the maser, let's say 15 days before Nisan, does that mean that any animals born after 15 days before Pesach, does that mean that now we've kind of established a new set of chadash, like a 3-period, you know, every time, essentially it's like a quarterly taxes, essentially, or actually not quarterly, it's a third tax system, because once you've established these 3 times of bringing, so Durabana, maybe now you should re-tiff. It makes sense, because if you've already given, then you theoretically have to really start counting over. Do you say, no, I'll recalculate based on the new animals that I have. So it says, hey la'achar goren, hey b'lefnei goren, hari elu mitzdarfim. So actually you have to go back and recalculate. So let's say you had 18 before the goren, which would be the first day of Nisan, and the rabbis told you to bring your tithes. So what you do is you brought one animal. So then you had 2 more animals after. So you can say, oh no, I don't want to, you know, I'm not going to tithe on that because I already tithed on these 18. So no, you have to recalc. So you say, oh, so it looks like I really had 20, and you owe another animal to the, you know, an other animal based on your previous work. So Amar Rabbi Yosa. So Rabbi Yosa says, Had Amarta Maser Behema Lo Asu Ota. So Rabbi Yossi says, the way I heard the shiur, I listened to a shiur by myself. I'm not this good, by the way. I listened to a shiur from Rav Rosen, I think Rav Rosen, that was online. So he did something nice. He sort of, it's a very difficult Gemara coming up, and I'm not sure I understand it completely, so I may need help with the English at some point. But let me just tell you what the Shach Latari is. Rav Yossi is going to say that we treat animals like we treat one, or like we do not treat animals. That is, at what stage does an animal have to be alive to the point where we consider him worthy of calculating for tips? So he's going to say we don't treat him neither like wheat and like olives, nor do we treat it like fruit trees. It's a whole new classification that we treat them like. Somebody's going to disagree and say that's not true. We treat it, in fact, just like olives. And then somebody in the end is going to say, no, you have it all wrong. So that's the flow of the Gemara coming up. So let's see if I can get through it. So Amar Rav Yosa Hada Omeret, that is to say, Masa Behema lo asu oto lo kechanat v'lo kishlish. It's neither like chanat, it's not a shlish. What is chanat? Chanat means as soon as the fruit starts to bud, that's when you owe your tithe, right there. Which means that really the fruit isn't even ready to... It's not ready to go. Velokishlish. Shlish is how you treat, I believe, olives and wheat, and that means it has to have a third of its produce, which means until it's a third of its size, you don't have to give tithes. Once it hits a third of its size, that's when you have to give the tithes on it. So, in Tamar Techanat, if you were going to say that Chanat, Lidne Kola Ha'mu'ubarim, Me'echa B'tishrei, Ad Esrim V'tisha Be'elo. So it can't be like a chana, because just like the fruit aren't grown yet, they're still in their bud state, so you shouldn't be calculating based on when an animal gives birth, but when an animal was pregnant, when an animal became a fetus inside of its mother. And as soon as it becomes a fetus, it's now calculated as part of the head tax for a tithe. The inat mark shlish, and you can't say it's a shlish, and I'll tell you why, because Whitney called it an oladim at esrim v'shnayim be'elul. It should be from Tishrei, but only to the 29th of Elul. Why is that true? Because you can't use an animal. The minimum age of an animal to give a korban is 8 days, and therefore an animal is completely unusable during if it's born anywhere in those last 8 days. So therefore, it really should be animals that are born from Tishrei until the 23rd. What happens to that middle 8 days? I'm not sure. I didn't understand that part of the Gemara. You calculate them as part of the I guess you calculate them as part of the next year. Right. So if it's a why? Because the whole principle of shlish is it has to be usable. If it's not usable, so it shouldn't be counted. So Reb Shammai b'shem Rebbe Bibi b'Rebbe Chia says no, you're wrong. It's k'shlish asu oto. It's really like shlish. The animal is not worthy of use because it's less than 8 days. So we hold like Reb Shimon. So this opinion holds like Rav Shimon. Da Rav Shimon mechusar zman, somebody who has a little calf that doesn't have enough time on it, which means it's less than 8 days old, nichlas ledir lehit aser. You have to treat it exactly like, even though you can't bring a korban as it, it's not usable, so you still count it as if it's part of the head tax. So kam Rabbi Mana im Rabbi Shammai. So the two of them got together. Whose opinion was that? That was Rabbi Shammai. So kam Rav Mana im Rabbi Shammai. So apparently he goes to Rav Shammai, this Rabbi Mana, and he says, wait, you got it all wrong. So Amar Lei, At Amart Chada Milta. You said one thing. What does that mean? At Amart Chada Milta. What does your English say in that word? That goes?
Rav Mana said to Rav Shammai.
What did he say?
Really say this?
Oh, Atamar, you said such a thing. Can't be. Why? Tama Tanya, we learned in that mission over there, Ben Azai Omer Ha'alumi, Mitashim Latzman, that Ben Azai says that you take all of the alumim and you give them their special. Lo afilu nolad al esrim v'tishayelul. He doesn't say what part of Elul. You're talking about a 1 month period, so he must hold that all of Elul you give over. And what you're trying to tell me is that Ben Azai holds like the Rabbi Shimon, who says that essentially you're allowed to count the head tax even though the calf is less than 8 days old. Can't be. He must hold like the Rabbanan, who say that in fact you're not allowed to count them as part of the tith, and therefore you go back to the issue. Then why are you using them? Why are you counting them? Because it's not like a shlish. It's not like a chanatan. It's not like a shlish. If you say it's like a shlish, then you're forced to figure out why the last 8 days. And you can't say it's the last 8 days like Shimon, because he says I don't care whether it's less than 8 days old. You still count them, because he must hold like Rabbanu, who says that even that within 8 days they're not countable because they're not usable, and therefore it can't be. It cannot be that they hold like a shlish. It must be some brand new category that we've never heard of. Not a chanata, because that would be pregnant cows, and not a shlish, that would be usable cows. It's a brand new thing, which is just for cows, which means the minute that they're born, but not before. So, kama to eat atamar drabanan, just like say rabbanan manichah v'shana abba, because rabbanan certainly say that you leave these less than eight day cows over for the next year. V'heim et asrim im bnei shnatan, and just like you would say, Rabbanan manichah v'shana abba, v'heim et asrim bnei shnatan. Oh, so these last 8 days are certainly within that year. You would also have to say that you leave them for the next goren. I'm not sure exactly what that means. I know what he's trying to say. What he's trying to say is there's no way that you could say Ben Azai, just like Rabbanan would say that 8-day-old cows are not usable, and I think they get left over to next year. So Ben Azai, based on that, Ben Azai, you have to say that he doesn't hold that neither Chanat and Shlish, because if he did hold Chanat and Shlish, then he would have given up the last 8 days and counted them for the next year. I don't know how to work that into the words, but I think that's the svara of the Gemara, so I'm going to go on for now. Amar Rabbi Chia, Zot Omeret Yamim Shabachor Mechusar Zman Behem Olin Lo V'Tok Shnato. So what that means is that even though the baby, according to this, I guess according to Ben Azai, a calf that was born within 8 days of the next year is not counted as part of the next year, it's counted as this year. Why? Because we don't hold by the Shlish thing. So I'm a Rabbi Mana, I'm a Rabbi Yona Abba, so my father, Rabbi Yona, said, or maybe that was the name, Shamalam and Hada. He actually learned that law from this pasuk. Because the real question is, why would you count for this year animals that are completely unusable for korban? So he says, Kola b'chor, shevi valed. And the pasuk says, all the b'chor, which will be born, hazachar takdish, thou shalt sanctify the male. Ah, Ketzad. I mean, how can you sanctify the male? The male is sanctified as soon as it's born. So it's a chiddush. Mishat le'datam onu l'shana. Shana. You count it even with the first 8 days. You count it as kodesh within the given year. And you don't wait till the next year to count the kodesh. Which means from the very day that it's born, that's when the kedusha starts, and therefore it's counted for the previous year and not the next year. Okay. Next, Mishnah Bet. Mishlos kupot shalosh tsa'im. In three kupot. How are we doing time wise? Because we're okay. Torment the lishka. So you take out, every time what you do is when you take it out from the lishka, you put them into these three large kupot. Each one is a saw large. I always forget my measurements. I'm not sure how large a saw is. I think it's like 60 liters or 120 liters. I forget, it's some sizable amount. So cut the aleim aleph bet gimel. What you do is you write on each one of the kupot that you loaded in the cash from the lishka. You write aleph on the first one, bet on the second one, gimel on the second one. Rishmol omer yavanit katu valayim alpha, beta, and gamma. Right here, when I heard this year, so he said alpha, beta, and gamma, which is funny because obviously he wouldn't say beta in this case. He would say beta. By the way, what's interesting about that is apparently the question was whether even the Kohanim didn't speak Hebrew so well. Almost like America, you know, like if I wanted to mark something A, B, and C, so I really wouldn't mark it alphabet and gimel in modern times. I would put, you know, 1, 2, 3, or A, B, C, even if it had possibly even, very rarely you see alphabet gimel. See them on Sefer Torahs, like we take out Sefer Torahs, they have the alphabet. But many things, people mark things in the most logical and easiest lesson. What that means is at this time, according to Rabbi Yishmael, who saw the destruction of the temple, he was a little boy when the temple was still going on, so Greek was apparently the language of the priests, and then there was more natural for them to write alphabet and gamma rather than alphabet and gimel, which is kind of interesting. So, Eina Torim Nichnas Lolipa. Now, what about the guy who takes the money out of the lishka and puts it into the kupa? So he's not allowed to go in lo befargod chafot. He's not allowed to go in with a cloak that's folded over, because lest somebody suspect that he puts the money in his hem. Velo b'minal, he can't go with a shoe. Velo I'm not sure what a minal is. A sandal, velo b'sandal. Two different types of shoes. Velo b'tfillin, he's not allowed to go in tefillin because they're afraid that he would slice open the stitching and he would stick the money into the stitching. So velo b'kamiyah, not with an amulet, because they used to wear amulets. So shema ya'ani, why? Because what happens if he gets poor afterwards? V'yomru me'avona lishka ha'ani. I'll tell you why he got poor. People used to look at other people and they'd say, I know why he got poor. It must have been, since I never saw him do anything bad, it must be that he stole money out of lishka. Oh, shema yashir, maybe get rich. V'yomru me'chumina lishka yashir. Maybe he got money from the lishka. Which means even back then people always suspected the worst. So the whole thing of Don Lekav Schut was, you know, that's a nice thing, but not very popular. Shadam tzarech l'tzeyidei apriyot, k'derech shehu tzarech l'tzeyidei makom. Just like he acts in front of God, which is the purest way, and God always knows what he's up to, what he has to do is make sure that people see him in the same pure way. Shenemar v'yitim nekiyim Hashem Yisrael. This is when Reuben and Gad and Chatzi Shem and Asher don't want to go into Eretz Yisrael. And they don't want to do it not because they don't care about Eretz Yisrael, but because they have all this crop and all of these grazing land. And they say, no, you got to go in because so that people will not suspect you of... Yeah, that's right. So, the Omer Oma, and there's another puzzle. Matzachem is Seichotom ben Elohim v'Adam. You have to find... Matzachem is... grace and good thinking or good consideration in not only the eyes of God but also the eyes of man. Why we need two pesukim, we'll see later in the Gemara. So Gemara says, Tam Antan, you know, we learned over there, this is in Gemara, Mishnah in Shabbat, Mifanin Afilu Dal Chamesh Kupot. So what you do on Shabbat apparently is in order to make room for people to be able to, I'm not sure, I think use the lishka, because if it was too full, so on Shabbat you were able to take out four or five kupot to make space for for a person to, I guess, sit down in the lishka, maybe sleep in the lishka. I'm not exactly sure what the story was. From Zira Shalat Rabbi Yoshia, so yes, Rabbi Shimon Kami Ushorin Shal Kupot. Ah, what's the chashash? Chashash is I'm doing a tircha on Shabbat. So we say no, 4 or 5 you can get away with. You don't have to worry that you're doing like you're ruining your Shabbat. So the problem is how big is the kupa? I don't know. So where it says Amar Lei Milmod, let's learn Satum and Amforash. So you're right. Over there, it doesn't tell you how large the kupa is, but here it says exactly how large the kupa is. What does it say? The tani b'shlosh kupot shalosh sa'in. Each kupa had 3 sa'in. So it says shehem tisha sa'in. That's 9 sa'in. Shehem esrim sheva sa'in. Torminat alishka. So 3 times a year times 9 sa'in. That's 27 altogether. The katav aleha period. So therefore, you should know that when it says 4 or 5 sa'in, that would mean 4 or 5 kupot. I think it means, but I'm not sure, because I don't think it means 27. I think it means 12 to 15 sa'in you can clear out without having to worry that you're doing a tircha on Shabbat. I think that's how you learn it. The katav aleihem, and what do you write on the ma'afet gimel? So the Gemara says, ma'afet katav aleihem ma'afet gimel. So what are you doing that for? So lamar mistamek bin arishon kodem ushniya, you have to use the first one first, bin ashniya kodem ushlishi, then you have to use the second one sooner than the third. This is the idea of in over mala mitzvah. It's like as soon as the mitzvah comes to your hands, because the first kupa was filled up and it's being used for mitzvot, so you have to use it first. So we have things like that. Like if somebody gives you the various things where you have to, you know, things in order, so you have to do things in the order that you that they become mitzvot. If something becomes a mitzvah earlier than something else, so you have to do it in the right order. Okay. What'd you say? Taman Tinyana, we learned over there also. Now this is a side point about since we're talking about Hilchot Shabbat. We learned over there in Hilchot Shabbat, Amotzi Yayin today, Mizigat HaKos. If you took out enough wine, now this is talking about, as far as we can tell, concentrated wine. Because that's how they used to do it. They used to have wine concentrated. They used to mix it one portion concentrate to 3 portions of water. And that's how they did it. So today, Mizigat HaKos. So therefore, so Hotzah has to be functional. So what if you carried less than that, so it's not functional to worry about? When does it become functional, and then when are you over in Isidiraita? When you have enough to make 1 cup worth of drinkable wine. So Rav Zeira Shal Rav Yosef, yes, Rav Shal, the Kama Shiran Shal Kos. That's very nice. That's 1/4 of a kos, but I have no idea how big a kos is. So give me a clue as far as that goes. So Amalei, Nilma Tzatim Nefer. So we can learn something that's not described from something that is described. The Tanya Rav Chiya says, Arba Kosin Shomrim, Yeshnan Ravid Shel Yayin. Each one, Ravid Shel Yayin Bi'i Talki. So it was 1/4 of, it was a 1/4 of the wine that you would get from Italian wine. I assume Italian wine probably came in some kind of known measuring amount, and therefore it was 1/4 of, a pint, a liter, whatever it was. I don't know what we're paskin. Now, Ravid, I think we paskin is, what, about 2.5 ounces? 3 ounces? So, I guess... What's that?
Depends who
you ask. Right. So I guess an Italki wine came in 12-ounce bottles, like a can of Coca-Cola, in the 12-ounce size. So Amar Rabbi Yossi Bar Avin Mishum Rabbi Yochanan de Rabbi Yehuda. That opinion that it's 1/4 of an Italian wine, or a Ravid, what we call Ravid Italki, that goes according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Why? Detani Mayim Kidei Gemia. If you carry water out to Rav Amar Shura Rabin Rusha Yavkud or vice versa, then you get nailed if you have as much as you could swallow in one swallow, like this. That's kind of like a Molelug Mo type of thing, like a mouthful of water. Rabbi Yehuda says, Kedei Lasuf Bahen Takilur, it's much less. It's enough to get the medicine out of your eyes. So it's really just a little bit. I think we had something like this in Gemara Bracha. Wasn't there a... Or maybe in Gemara Shabbat. I remember when we did Daf Yomi, there was something about this thing about clearing the eyes. It was enough water to clear the eyes out of... So that's much less water. Rabbi Yehuda Omer... Yeah, oh no, so skip those parentheses. So go to Yayin. Ah, so that was water. So he was much more machmir on water because water is usable at a small level. What about Yayin? What about wine? So the first opinion says, to make Tamiya. It's the same thing, a mouthful of wine. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, today Mizika Takos. No, so there you need enough to do, to water down a full cup. Mazug Bikama. So now I got a question. So fine, that's like Rabbi Yehuda. But now what about mazug? What if you have, we learned that 1/4 of a ravid of concentrated wine, you are over Shabbat if you carry from Rashuda Rabin to a Yachid or vice versa. But what if I have non-concentrated wine? What if I have an actual, somebody already made me a nice cup of wine? is that a full cup, or is that also one fourth of a cup? So it says mazug. What if it's already been mixed? The kama, so nashmiina min hada. So we had actually learned it out of that previous mishnah. Why? Because it says mayim kedei gemia, water like a gemia. Rabbi Yudah Omer kedei v'yishof ben adakilo. Skip the premises again. Yayin kedei gemia. Rabbi Yudah Omer kedei mizigah kos. Ah, so how do you know we're not talking about concentrate in that case? Because a gemia is a mouthful, but you wouldn't put a mouthful of concentrate in your mouth. You would only put a mouthful of non-concentrated or reconstituted in your mouth. And therefore, since Rabbi Yehuda is arguing about that, he would say that what he must be talking about is a full reconstituted wine. If you have enough, only one-fourth of that, to theoretically reconstitute more water, even though it would be pretty watery, it would be a pretty watery dish, that's also considered usable. So you might have thought that it's only the concentrate that's one-fourth of the measure. But no, even if you have reconstituted stuff, that even that one-fourth of the measure, Rabbi Yehuda would say, is you're over an Isser of Hotzah if you carry. Over there we said, like this we said, mazuk kedei mizigah takos, the amount of reconstitute is as much as non-constitute, I think. Is as much as you would put in when you were putting in concentrate in order to reconstitute, which seems sort of unfair, which means both of them are at the same shear, even though one is obviously much more usable than the other one.
Why doesn't Gemara come up and say it's a quarter of a...
Well, the problem, because if the
concentrate,
because concentrate, I guess, a quarter of a cup is usable,
yeah.
Because I could use it to concentrate a cup, but a quarter of, but then you might think that, what does that mean? That just like a concentrate is usable at a quarter, that means regular wine is only usable when I have a full cup, because I'm going to drink it. So they're saying, no, even reconstituted is useful down at a quarter of a cup, because you might think they have two different shirim. Because how could reconstituted have the same usefulness at the same measure as concentrate, which is obviously much more useful at a smaller level? So it doesn't work that way. They both have the same measurements.
Cool.
They're both useful.
Right.
They're both useful. Either I'm reconstituting from a quarter of a ravine, or I'm drinking a quarter of a ravine, and that's usable also. Right. So, Kamashirin Shulkos, so the question is, Kamashirin Shulkos, I still don't know how big the kos is. And the reason why, I believe, is because we don't know what a ravine at Talki is. I mean, the bottom line is, even that measure, we don't know what it is anymore, because it's 100 years, I don't know, a few hundred years later, so they say, Rabbi Avin Amar, teach ritun v'revia. It's the size of one teach ritun and a quarter of a treat ritun, which, of course, for us, we also don't know what it is, so we'll just stick with the 3 ounces. I guess a teach ritun was about 2 1/4 ounces, just at a guess. So ma'u v'shtota, okay, period. So nu halacha, ma'u v'shtota b'krachacha. We're now talking about Pesach. So now you tell me what a kos is, what a kos is. What about if I drink them all in one shot? That is, I sit at my table, gulp, 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 gulp. Did I just do arba koso? Did I mess up? So where it says, mida'ama Rav Mana, because Rav Mana said, I'm Rav Yossi, halel im shama beit ha-knesset. If you heard halel in beit ha-knesset, because don't forget that there's halel in the Seder. But not only is there halel in the Seder, half the halel is before the Shulchan Aruch, and half the halel is afterwards. But if you heard halel in shul, yotzeh. So guess what? You actually yotzeh the mitzvah of halel, which means if you do it in all one big blob, you're perfectly fine. So the Gemara says, amra im shata v'krachachad yotzeh. So the same rule applies. Yeah, it's not the way you were supposed to do it, but if you stuck down 4 cups, just like if you stuck halal altogether, you are fine. So the Gemara says, ma'al v'shtotam piskan. What about me taking a kos, instead of giving it one big quaff where I take the kos, what if I drink sip, 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 sip? Which, of course, we don't do. We try to get down to Kedei Achila Pras. We really try to get it in one shot. So the Gemara says, Kulam Amru doesn't say Shiyishteh, you're supposed to drink it. Look at Shiyishteh. Does that mean that you're supposed to drink it below Shiyishteh? That means you're not supposed to gulp that thing down. You're supposed to drink it slowly. So you shut the piskin. Afu, ain't no stock here. So actually, according to this Gemara, it looks like it's even better. Maybe you should go a little bit slower, because if you get drunk on Pesach night, that's not such a nice thing. Which I have to tell you, as soon as I read this Gemara, I felt a little guilty, because the truth is that I do do the fast drinking on a coast, and I tend to get a little bit of a buzz. I wouldn't say I'm drunk, but I certainly get a little bit of a buzz before the meal, because you haven't been eating most of the day.
Yeah.
So you on an empty stomach, so you really get a little bit of buzz based on this. I don't know if we paskin like this Yerushalmi, but based on this Yerushalmi, I think I'm feeling a little bit guilty about the. Something my Rebbe told me to do. So he said, I think it was my Rebbe, or some rabbi I had. So he said, after you drink a glass of wine, to chase it with a tall glass of cold water. And you don't even have to make a shahakol, because all you're doing is mezigah. You're doing mezigah. And then essentially what it does is it keeps you from getting drunk or sick if you get it. So that's sometimes what I do to avoid the
time.
So you drink the cup of wine.
The whole thing.
Yeah, but it doesn't tell you. You can't.
Right. So it doesn't. So this doesn't.
At the time, or you can. You should drink the whole thing.
Oh. No, I think. But I think you're right. I think the minhag, certainly among the Ashkenazim, is like, you know, you down the one guy. That's how I learned. You know, you get the sense that you really have to get it down as fast as possible in one gulp. The question is the Yerushalmi arguing with you did Pesachim. I only did one out of 7 pages in Pesachim. I don't know if in Pesachim it talks about drinking it in one shot. We don't always pass like Yerushalmi. If there's a Bavli that disagrees with Yerushalmi, pass like the Bavli. Or it could be that this is, or it could be that we Ashkenazim are doing the wrong thing, and even though you have to do it reasonably quickly, you should do, you know, sip, so that you don't get drunk. Because the feeling is that getting drunk on Pesach, based on what I'm reading, is not such a good thing. So anyway, so that's why the tall glass of water works out pretty well. So Afuena Mishtake. So Ma'u would say Ben Yayin Shel Shvi. What about the use Yayin Shel Shvi? On Shvi, of course, all the grapes were Hefker. So anybody can get it. You can get your own fields, and not even come. So what about it? So what's the problem with using it? The problem with using it is after a certain period of time, you have to burn the rest of the produce that you have gathered together. Now, I didn't know the burn time was already by Nisan, but maybe it was, and therefore, maybe since it's considered burnt, you can't use it for a mitzvah. So Tani Rav Oshia Yotzin B'Yayin Shel Shvi. It's fine. So Ma'al would say Bekundetin. What about spice wine? So Bitani Bar Kafra Kundetin T'Yayin. So spice wine's the same as wine. So Hadamra, based on that, Yotzin B'Yayin Kundetin. Based on what he said, that spice wine is the same as wine. So just like you could, so therefore, halachically for Pesach, it's also like wine. Ma'al would say B'Yayin Mezugin. What about wine which has been further diluted, which means greater than 1/4? So it's like very watery wine. So the Gemara says, "Me the Tana Rav Chana Arba Kosu Chamru Yotim Ben Chayim Ben Mezugim." Whether it's raw, which means real concentrate, or whether it's watered down, Bilvachi Hey Bei Tam Umari Yayin. It still has to look and taste like wine. Once it starts to look and taste like a water with a little bit of flavoring on the top, so then you can't use it anymore.
Rush.
What?
Rush.
Why, is it very light and has very watery?
6%
So, Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, mitzvah letzeit b'yayin edom. So actually, you have to use, on the Pesach, you have to use red wine. Why? Shneamar, al tere yayin ki et adam. Do not let the wine be seen after it becomes red. Ki tein b'kosei no, when he puts his eye on the coast. It's a very strange pasuk. This pasuk is used for all kinds of things. Some of them are negative about being drunk and stuff like that. But here it's trying to indicate that a good wine is a red wine, a desired wine, the kind of wine that people like to drink is red, and therefore it's the kind of wine that you should drink. So Tani Mavushal Kimetuval. So we learned that Mavushal is like Mavushal. That is, what about cooked wine? So Ma would say B'yayin Mavushal. You're allowed to have cooked wine. So Amar Rav Yonah, Yotzin B'yayin Mavushal, you're fine. Rabbi Yonah Lataimei, Rabbi Yonah goes going to his readings. Why did Rabbi Yonah Tad Havi Shati Arba Kase de Pascha? At one point he wasn't using Yayin Bavushal, he was using raw wine. So Havi Chazik Reishi, his head hurt so much at Chaga until for the next 50 days until he got to Shavuos, he gave himself such a bad drunk burn that he had a headache from the wine for 50 days. I don't know, he must have done something with that wine. So therefore he allowed himself to use Yayin Bavushal because it didn't make him sick. So what he did was he wanted to use the best kind of wine, which is non-Mavushal wine, but it made him sick, so he said, you know, I'm going to use Mavushal wine. Chamite chada metrinita, matron. So there was a woman, this was probably a Roman woman of some high stature, who saw Ape Nihirin. So he saw, Rav Yonah's face. How's he doing? What's the Thursday night? Can we meet Rabbi Louise Wickler?
No, you can go.
So we saw him here, and he saw his face was shining. So Amra Saba Sama, hey daddy, grandpa, very insulting way. So I know there are three things by you. One of three things is what's going on with you. Oh, the shati cham, either you're drunk and your face is shining from the drink. Or you must have made money after charging some other Jew ribbit, so you're happy with your profits and you're super excited, so your face is shining. It's very, very insulting. Oh, what's that?
That's
they would say such a thing to him?
She would say it. This Matrona, she was a Roman.
Right,
that's
right,
the idea. Matronas were Romans.
Right,
they were considered,
right,
they were Jewish, but they were considered part of, I think they were Jewish, I'm not necessarily sure, but they would make fun of from Jews, essentially, the rabbis. So, Om, the Migdado Chaziru, you must be growing pigs. Because apparently pigs are very expensive, they don't cost much to keep, so therefore you must be very happy. So what's interesting, by the way, is it tells you what people thought about drinking back then. That's a little chiddush. So essentially, as far as the Romans, you would think Romans were okay to drink, but apparently getting drunk was considered, you know, this, if a rabbi would get drunk, it would be considered a very bad thing. So what would you say to Lubavitch? I don't know. I wouldn't want to learn and teach this Gemara to Lubavitch, because this clearly comes out anti-alcoholism. So Amarlei, Tifach Rucha Dahi Yitzita, let the spirit of this woman be blown away. I got not a one of these things. What's interesting is he has to respond to her. This happens also in Gemara Bava Metzia, where a woman insults this guy, insults Rabbi Yochanan in a terrible way. Rabbi Yochanan was a very fat guy, so she was talking about his size, his ability to procreate, and he responded nastily to her, and the Gemara says, why do you respond to idiots? So he says, because somebody says something like that and it gets out there. If you don't respond, you know, it depends on your time of day, but sometimes you got to take on stupidity as well. You know, they always say, I'm not going to dignify that with the response, but sometimes you really have to, because if you don't, it looks like you're being silent. It's like when 60 Minutes said, they refuse to come on, and
silence is...
it sounds like you have something to guilt, it's like some kind of guilt, so he takes her on.
I agree with you.
Yeah. So, Ella open us, Shriachle. You know what it was? I was learning Torah. Because the wisdom of a man, when a woman, man becomes wise, it raises his face. I'll tell you why my face was shining, because I was learning Torah so much. Oh, so Rabbi Bahu Ati Tveria, so he came to Tveria, Chamunye Talmudei Rabbi Yochanan, the students of Rabbi Yochanan saw him, Apu in the Horin, his face was glowing. So Amun, they said to him, Talmudim, Rabbi Yochanan, they said to Rabbi Yochanan, Ishkach Sima, I think it's out of order.
Okay.
It should be Ischach, not Rabbi Avahu. It should be Ischach Sima, which means he must have found a treasure. This Rabbi Avahu came to town, must be, they said to their master, Rabbi Yochanan, oh, you see that guy whose face is glowing? From the very, he must have come riches. So Rabbi Avahu, Atu Lagabe, Rabbi Avahu came to Rabbi Yochanan, Amalei, Rabbi Yochanan said, no, my Urta, Chadita Shmaita, what kind of great Torah did you just learn? Rabbi Yochanan knew why his face was shining. His face was shining because he knew he just learned a wonderful piece of Torah. So Rabbi Avahu says to Rabbi Yochanan, Tosefta Atika Tega Karalei. I found an old Tosefta, apparently a lost text, which he managed to discover. I know, I have to say, I don't know the feeling, like he knows the feeling, but you know, I'm doing Eben Ezra on Shir Shirim, and you get like an old manuscript that has a better read than the ones in the Mikro Katolot, and you're like, oh, and everything falls into place. You feel like it's like $1 million. You feel great. So here, I'll have the
treasure.
Yeah, he found it. So he did. I think the students were thinking money, and Rabbi Yochanan was thinking Torah, but either way. So Chachman Adam Tayyar Panah. So he said to him, Kara Alei, he said to him, Chachman Adam Tayyar Panah. Amar Rav Chanin, Luga Diraita Timnuta Atika Demorsi Bitsipurit. So the Luga, which it says that Diraita, when you need a Lug measurement, Timnuta is 1/8, I think, of what they call Timnuta Atika, some measurement called an old eighth, the Moraisa B'tzipuri, which they're still using to measure out. Moraisa is like, I don't know, like a pickling stuff and whatnot. That is, they still use this cup.
Hi. How long are you getting to me? Not another half of that. Is that maybe a shirt?
About 15
empty?
Minutes or so.
I guess we'll find that.
Do you want us to go to the...
I mean, we could go there if that's an issue.
Go ahead. We'll see if we can find another spot.
You should, why, is the bait measures used?
Well, the bait measures, I mean, now there's some people in there too, but...
Oh.
We can go there now, so...
We have probably about 15 minutes to go. Sorry. So apparently this thing called the Tamnut Atika was the size of a Luga. So I guess if you wanted to know how much a Luga was, you would go to Tzipori and you would measure. I'm a little shaky on this part of the Gemara, so you'll have to forgive me. So Amar Rav Yochanan, the Chachman Allah, we saw Debei Rav Yanai Havi Mechilim Ba Dvash, so they would measure out Dvash. Atani Chatzi Shminit Tabarni Tayishana. I think that means that they would use a 1/2 of what's called the Tiberian Shmini, and that would also be the size of a lug. Some Rav Yochanan Hadan Hadin Didan. That's exactly the measurement that we have. Who? So therefore, Lama Kari Le Atikas. Why do they call it? Why do they call it old? It's not old. It's perfectly new. So Man Bagin Dahavi Biyoma. How can you call something old that which we have in our days? So Itamri, there are those who say Dahavi Zir of Irabta. So actually, the size that you have, actually, it was originally smaller and it got larger. The Itamri, there are those who say the Azira. So actually, it got small again, like the original Torah size. The low Azira, comma Dahavi, but it didn't get back to the original. So it expanded at some point and then it went back. So we call it the Atik. But we call it the Atik because it's not exactly the size that they had. I have to be honest, I'm a little shaky on that Gemara. So I think maybe we should learn on, but maybe go get back to that because, again, I'm a little shaky on this stuff coming up. So Kamu Shir Shil Kosi. So how big is a Kosi? Rav Yossi, B'Shem Rav Yossi Ben Pazi, Rav Yossi Bar Bibi, B'Shem Rav Shmuel says, I'll give you the exact size. Etzba'ayim, width, I guess. Etzba'ayim, length. Arum Etzba Umechsa Ushlish Etzba, which is 1.5 plus a third, which would be 1 5/6 of an etzba. And so therefore, I guess they wanted to know, you know, stop playing around. They keep giving me shurim, which aren't used anymore, so how big is it? So it's two wide by two long by, I guess, 1.5 up. I don't know. Maybe they mean this way, etzba. Or maybe they mean this way, by this way, by this way. Was used like that. I don't know. But whatever, however they measured, that was it. It was 2 by 2 by 1 5/6. So Yavesh Kazayit, we learned that we were talking about liquid wine. How much do you have to walk out with? And it was 1/4 of Revi in order to be over Isser of Shabbat Hotzah. So what about if it's dry? So it says Kazayit, Divri Rav Natan. So he says it's like a Kazayit. So if wine dries up into a hard, like if it evaporates into a hard thing, so then it's one kazayit that you carry out. So Rabbanan de Kesarei, Rav Yossi Bar Bibi, B'Shem Shmuel, Atzia de Rav Natan. They came to Rav Natan. They said to Rav Shimon that it's like Rav Shimon. Kima de Rav Shimon, Amar Berevit, just like Rav Shimon said that you're over Revit. Kachamar Rav Natan Berevit. He also agrees as a Revit. Ulu Kashi Yikrash V'Yehei Bo Kazayit. So essentially, he agrees with the same opinion. It's just that a liquid fourth, a liquid revit, minimizes down to a kazayit in size. Rabbi Simon B'Shem Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi says, Ma'aseh B'Pirdat Rebbe Shemeika. So the donkey of Rebbe died. The taru with dama, and the blood they said was the blood wasn't matami anybody mishum nevela. Now again, here I'm a little bit foggy, so maybe I'll go to the English. I think what happens is that the blood of an animal that dies naturally is not metame somebody who touches it, and does not metame, that is, it's liquid. So normally it causes a transfer of tuma. So apparently, in the case of a nevela, the blood does not cause tuma to spread. Is that fair? Is that what that says?
That we haven't
gotten to. Is there a footnote yet down there? Something about nevela? Is there some? I don't know exactly what the law is. Apparently, blood of a nevela.
The flesh of a nevela, the carcass of a non-kosher animal or of a kosher animal that died without shkita, transmits tuma if it is at least the size of the size.
Right, that's the flesh. Go ahead.
Non-flesh parts of the carcass, hide, bones, sinews, horns, and hooves are excluded from transmitting the tumor of the nevela.
Okay.
That's Kulin 77b. The status of blood of the nevela is disputed. Some say that it is treated
like the
flesh,
the meat, and it's matame. Some people say it's
tummy.
Right, and some people say it's not. Okay, so that's the question here. So apparently, when they visited him, he decided that this animal, that the blood was not matame. So Shol Rabbi Eliezer at Rav Simon. So Rabbi Eliezer asked Rav Simon, Akama velo ashkach, until what size? That is it any amount of blood, or is it specifically an amount? So he didn't know. So Shol the Rabbi Shua ben Levi. So he went and asked Rav Simon, asked Rav Shua ben Levi, Vamalei ad revit. So until a revit tahor, Yoter Mirvit, this has to do with what we talked about before, how essentially a kazayat solid of meat is like a revit of liquid of the blood, so to speak. So he says, so more than a revit, so that's going to become tamei. So essentially, it is exactly like meat, but you use a liquid measurement rather than a solid measurement. So tamei, where are we moving tamei? Ubash l'Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Eliezer was embarrassed, al delo, or he was upset, al delo chazal le Rav Simon. Rav Simon didn't get back to him, shmuata, he didn't tell him what the ruling was. I'm not sure exactly what that means. Rav Simon apparently asked his Rabbi because he didn't know, and apparently he didn't get back to Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer was very upset about it. That's how I read this Gemara. I think it's right. Is that, I don't know if that's what it says. He didn't respond to him, and then he was upset afterwards. So Rabibi Hava Yativ Matzne. So he was sitting and talking about Matzne Hadin, this very case of the dead donkey with the blood. So Hadin Uvda. So Amalei Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Kana Ad Rabbi Tahor Yoter Mikan Tamei. It's a question. Is it in fact true that up until a revit you're tar, but more than that you're tamei? So, which means it has a din of meat, and it doesn't have the din of the sinews and the bone. So, baitbe, he didn't give an answer. So, Amar Lei Rav Zrika, begin to shay lachad baitbe. Somebody asked you a question, you're not going to answer. So, Amar Lei, begin to lo havidati be baitna. I wasn't focused, so that's why I didn't answer him. Now, it gets into this thing. I have to tell you, I don't know what it means, so I'll read through it, and then we have to do the English. So do you want me to just read it in English? I don't know. There's a whole bunch of psukim. I know how to read them, but I have no idea what it's talking about, to be honest. So it says, Rabibi bagin deloha. So the Amar of Yochanan says, "V'hayu chayecha tluim l'cha neged." Your lives are hanging against you. Your life will hang in the balance. Zeshel keach hitim b'shana. That's somebody who buys wheat for a whole year. Ufachad it's a laila v'yomam. And then in the next part, in the rest part, it says you shall be afraid day and night. I assume this is the tokacha, something like that. So it says that's referring to v'zelo keach minad sidki. That's called somebody who buys from a merchant in small quantities. Lo ta'amin b'chayecha. Your life will be not sure. Zelo keach minad paltor. That refers to somebody who buys bread from the baker daily. And I, Rabibi, rely on a baker for my bread. Therefore, I lack the presence of mind to focus on Rav Yitzchak Bar Bishni's inquiry and distractedly spurn him. Okay, so what those psukim are trying to say is there are three types of people. There are people who can handle everything in one big pot. There are people who buy, I don't know, 10 times a year, a month worth of bread, and they do it that way. And there's some people who work on only one thing at a time. I'm a person who buys my bread on a daily amount. Therefore, since I was thinking about one thing, and he asked me kasha on this whole blood thing, I didn't answer him, but not because I was trying to insult him, because I couldn't handle the two questions at the same time. Okay, so now I understand what the point of those psukim are. It was a metaphor. I lost my place. Hold on a second. Vanas Vino Pata. Umahu, Tidon Ha'id. So what about more than a revit? Is it tummy or is it not tummy? That's up to a revit. Everybody says it's tar, so there's no problem. Why? Because if it's like the sinews, it's tar no matter what. If it's like the meat, I'm good up to a revit. But what about more revit? Are you quite sure the din is that you're tame? Are you sure it's like meat? So Yeshua ben Petorah Aldam says, Aldam Nevela Shu Tahor. So he says, a dam nevela is tahor, ma tahor. So what does he mean by tar? Tell him to the hachshir. That means it's tar, which means that if you touch it and it's liquidy, it doesn't transfer tumah from one thing to another. It doesn't become a transmitter of tumah like water does. Aval letamed metame tumah, but it certainly is like meat. That is, I agree with you that over a kazayit, it's tahor. But that means it's tahor because it doesn't transfer like water, other tumah. But that doesn't mean it itself, if you touched itself, you're tameh. I think I'm learning that right, but I'm not sure. Come on, tinyana, but didn't we learn over in some place, over there, dam hasheresh kibzaro, the blood of a creepy crawly is like its meat. Mitamei ve'eno machshir. So it makes something tamei to touch, but it does not machshir something else to become a kabel tuma.
Right, not the liquid.
Yeah. The ain lanu ki yotzi bo, and there's nothing else like it. Ah, if there's nothing else like it, that means that a regular animal, you can't distinguish between machshir and tummy. It's all the same thing. The shir tumato shidamo mitame kivsaro. And what that means is that it is mitame. And by an animal, we know, by this sheretz, we know that its blood is mitame like its meat. That would indicate that with a regular animal that's not a sheretz, its blood is not mitame like its meat. You treat it like a gidim and like, you treat it like the sinews, and therefore it's not mitame at all. It's not machshir and it's not tame. Some Rav Yossi, pligi bar train amurayim. This is a machok, and I had to understand this whole thing that says a sheretz is different than a regular animal when it comes to tumah. Chanamar tame, v'chanamar tar. One says that it's tame, and one says tar. Manda amar tame, the one who says that more than a revit of blood of a dead animal, not a sheretz, but a dead, let's say, donkey, is tame, is Karebi Yehuda. Umanda amar tar, Karebi Yoshua ben Torah. So the one who says that it's tar, like Ruben ben Torah. Rav Avua de Iman Achte de Rav Yehuda. Rav Avua de Iman, I guess Achte came before, I think. Rav Yehuda. So I'm a lay Rav Avduma de Man Nechute Viyut. So he agreed with the one who said that it was Tame. Over reviewed as Tame. I think that's how it is. The Rebbe Yehuda Moraina Debay Nesiyahavi, and I'll tell you why. Because Rebbe Yehuda was the teacher of the prince's house, and therefore, when Rebbe Yehuda said at the very beginning that over a kezayit or over a vid a blood is matami, that's the din we treat it just like basa. Okay, I'm sorry, I was a little choppy on that little section. Shema. So the next one I think is pretty straightforward. Shema Yaane. So the reason why you're not allowed to take in shoes or tefillin or anything, because if a person gets poor, somebody's going to think it's because you stole. Not that we're worried that the guy is going to steal. We're not worried that the guy's going to steal. We're worried that somebody who's looking in is going to not even suspect that he steals right away. He's going to suspect if he sees the guy become poor 10 years later or 2 years later, then we'll assume. It's purely a question of what we would call Marasayim, but my Rebbe taught me this once a long time ago. It's not really Marasayim. It's called Tiyu Nikim, which is what we're going to get into. Rebbe Yishmael, Kabatz Lo Yitzrom. So somebody who, Mipnei Achshad, somebody who was Kabatz should not take from the truma, take from the lishka, because people will doubt him. Kavatz, I think, is somebody who's... What does kavatz mean? I knew what it was, but I lost it. What does the English say about... What?
Long-haired.
Oh, right, yes, a long-haired person, curly hair, because you're afraid that you may stick the money into the hair. So, Tani, Hagizbarim, Hayumafasasim, Betilkulin. So they would it was like an airport. They would feel the people coming out to make sure they weren't clothed, they weren't carrying any stuff. That little metal detector, they said, take off your shoes. Money for that. So Tani, Medabrim Hayu Imo, Mishashu Nichnas, Ad Shashu Yotze. Not only that, they would talk with the guy, they would keep the guy talking from the time that he went in to deal with the Leshka until he came out to the Leshka, because this way he couldn't put any money in his mouth. So his mouth was all busy, he couldn't stuff it in his mouth. So for Yimali Pume, so Kshu Yotze, Ad Shashu Yotze, they were talking all the time. So the Gemara says, well, Yimali Pume Maya, so why didn't they just fill up his mouth with water? That would have taken care of the whole putting in his mouth thing. So Ram Tanchuma Pnei Abracha, because you have to give a bracha when you take out the Truma. I don't know what bracha, but apparently there was a bracha, and therefore you need your mouth free of water. So Bishmol Bar Nachman B'Shem Rav Yonatan B'Toro B'Nivim Ktiva Matzano Sh'Adam Tzarech L'Tei Yidei Briot K'Derech Shehu Tzarech L'Tei Yidei HaMakom. There are three, it's in Torah and Ktuvim, each one has a pasuk which says you have to behave in such a way that people think that you're as pure as God knows you are, that people have to have the same non-suspicion as God does in his omniscience. So it says, "B'torah minayim d'ktiv ayitim d'kiim yashem yisro ben Yisrael." That's the pasuk that we saw by Reuben, God, Chatzis Shem Hashem. B'nevi'im minayim, how you know from Nevi'im d'ktiv al Elohim Hashem v'chule v'Yisrael hu yeda. That's in Yoshua. That was when, again, Reuben and God were crossing over the Jordan River and they built a little mizbeach. And the mizbeach was not there to do sacrifices on. It was there to. It was there simply as a commemoration. And they sent Pinchas, and Pinchas was going to kill all of them, and they were going to make war. And he said, no, God knows what we are doing, and you should also know what we're doing. It is not for sacrifice, it's just a commemoration. So there's the pasuk we saw before. So Gamliel Zuga Shaul Rebbe Yossi by Rebbe Bone. So Ezra Machafer B'Chushuv Cholam, which is the most clear one of all the three. So Amalei Ba'itin Kiyim Hashem Umi Yisrael, thou shalt be pure before Israel and God, and therefore you have to be you can't allow yourself to be misunderstood by people any more than God would never misunderstand. Okay, so
you shouldn't.
So that's a question of Marissa. That's the whole question. Like, are you allowed to go into McDonald's and buy a soda? Because it's not my... People always say it's Marissa. But Marissa, my Rebbe said, and actually Rav Avadi Yosef passed it this way, it's machlok at whether... There's a certain case of Marissa. In the case of Marissa, by the way, afilu chada chadan, even if you're in a locked room, inside a locked room, you still can't do things for Marissa. So it really doesn't really have to do... Marissa is not really what somebody else will think. It may be just sort of something that gets created by your doing it. So according to my Rebbe, according to Rav Avadi Yosef, you're not allowed to stretch Marasayan rules. Marasayan rules are specifically the ones that are listed in the Gemara, none other ones. Ah, so how come you can't do certain other things? So those fall into category, tiyun nikiyim. Not that it's Marasayan, but that you're worried that somebody might not be damakav schut to make sure that you're pure. And they're really two different issues.
But based on this Gemara here, it says God knows that I'm pure, you know, so therefore
but people
you
are afraid
know.
That you're stealing. No, but people won't know. So you have to make these people as omniscient as God, so to speak.
So you have to make
so you
it
have to walk in like
as
it's
the same way God.
The God is clear to God, so
clear.
Too you have to make sure man never suspects you.
So you have to make it so clear.
Correct. But I mean, the question is, how far do you take that? So of course, some people won't make a telephone call at McDonald's because they're afraid that somebody will suspect them. Or maybe you would say no. Maybe it's only in this case of a lishkai, you know, where you're walking into a room full of money and then you walk out. So how does somebody know? You know, it's a big pile of money. You walk out with a small pile. How does somebody know whether a dollar or two slipped out? That's some of the other people say, listen, tunicum is nice, but there's a big difference between that and going to McDonald's and making a telephone call or even drinking a soda. But it's not the same as going to the bathroom. It's not the same as taking your hamburger, your kosher hamburger into a McDonald's, because then you're actually involved with the actual process. Other people would posken, I think, from this Gemara and others like it much more machmir, that essentially you can't even allow a shadow of a doubt. I think this is, I tend to be mako in general. I would say it's not that you can't allow a shadow of a doubt, it's that you can't allow reasonable doubt. And reasonable doubt is I walk through a big pile of money and I walk out with some that some, you know, greed is a pretty common thing. So that's how, that's the key.
It's only human.
It's only human. So much for Don Kopskwit.